The musicians have no idea what I'm going to be talking about, but the musicians come up with the songs and they actually funnel in, and you look at and just go back remembering as I'm speaking some of the words you've been singing, and you're going, you know, they're actually dovetailing right into this. And what I'm bringing this morning is from a number of different people. It's, I would believe this is the now word from God for us today and moving forward. And I'm starting, you think, hang on, well, what am I starting here for? I'm starting Acts 5, number verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Is there a wow there? Yeah, I'm pleased there was from someone. Yeah, there needs to be a wow on that front, doesn't there? There needs to be a wow. You know, so often when we're reading scripture, we can just glance over it and then, oh yeah, that's nice. But what's he's just been saying there? You know, we've got signs, wonders, miracles. Is that an amazing, you know, when we get that, you know, that coming forward? You know, let's not get to the place where we get complacent. You know, that we've got that many going on around us that we think, oh, that's just some more healings. That's just another miracle. So what? Yeah, well, we haven't got there yet. Yeah, you know, we're seeing some in measure, but we're not seeing, well, as much as I want to see anyway. I want to see loads. So we hear them, we want them, we see in measure, but there's a lot more to come. Let's get hold of this assurance. There is a lot more to come. Why? Because God's promised it. That's what he said. We see in verse 13 there, that none of the rest dared to join them. Is that why the church is so empty today? Don't think so. Yeah, but none of the rest. When we're looking here, the power of God was so amazing that the rest of the people were frightened. The non-believers were frightened. They didn't dare join them. Frightened to come in. Why? Because the new one, the Lord touched them, they'd probably become believers. And they didn't know what to expect there. See, for a lot of people today, they seem to think becoming a believer, you sign up to a whole rule book that says can't. Well, in reality, we've got more liberty and more freedom being a Christian than we have being a non-Christian. And I don't know about you, but a Christian walk is an exciting walk. That things just keep happening. God fills us with surprises at times. Okay, it may bump along steadily at times, but then something else happens. You think, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've got your hand on my life. When the light of the gospel is turned on to anyone, they have to change. They have to make that choice. Am I going to turn my back and run, or am I going to embrace God and walk towards him? We see here the power of God was so great. It tells us here the sick were taken out into the street, but it also says, and from around surrounding the cities, and the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people with them. That's people coming from far and wide. The disciples didn't go out to see them. The people came to see them. Yeah, so we've got the people are coming from far and wide. There's another interesting thing to take there from that. The sick people were brought. It wasn't necessarily the sick people's faith to say, I want to go there. They were brought by the people around them. So whose faith were they using there? That's the people who were bringing them, saying, we know that there's something that's going to happen there. So a question, how is your faith in relation to praying for a non-believer? You know, at times, not so long ago, we would have been told, oh, you don't pray for the non-believer because it's just for God, it's just for the believers. Well, that's absolute rubbish. It's outreach for everyone, the non-believers there. How's your faith about bringing a non-believer? Oh, no, the service is too long. Oh, no, they won't like the worship. Oh, no, they won't like what's going on there. Who says so? When the power of God's moving, I've been in a place where somebody's been preaching on tithing and people have come to know the Lord. How would you expect that? You've hit somebody right in their wallet and that's the worst place you can hit somebody and yet they still come to know the Lord. Yeah. But they brought the non-believers alongside. And it doesn't say, oh, well, when Peter was walking past, he stopped and prayed for them. He laid hands on them. He looked them in the eyes. Okay, sometimes he did, but this time it doesn't. He says he was walking past. And just his shadow touched them as he what? As he passed by. He wasn't even staying with them. The Passion phrases it differently. When they knew Peter was going to pass by, they carried the sick out and laid them down on cots and mats, knowing the incredible power emanating from him. And he from him would overshadow them and heal them. The people knew that as Peter walked by, as his shadow fell on them, the power of God was so great around him that it was going to touch them and it was going to heal. That's what it says in the Bible. What have we been speaking out? I can have what it says in the Bible. And that's the truth, isn't it? We can have it. Last Sunday, Pam stated she believed God had said our shadows will heal the sick. Not because of who we are, but because of Christ in us. God's power will emanate from us. God's power will be around us because God's power is in us and it shines out through us. Do we believe that? Good. That was a definite yes there. Do we receive it? More to the point. Receive that thought, not just believing it, because we've got to put it into action. Do we receive it? You know, will it happen? Will that type of thing happen? The answer is yes, it will happen because it says so in the Bible and God keeps his promises. And why am I saying this? On Tuesday, I was down at the leaders' meeting. And after the meeting, I went down to the coffee shop. And on the way into the coffee shop, there were four of us. And we came, the manageress was at the door. And she just said, four of you. And said, yes, go in. And I just had a quick bit of word because she actually asked how many there were. There was another one of the staff inside. And she said to the staff, table for four. And I said, that's it. Sign of a good manageress there. Delegating. She says, yes, that's right. And that was it. Went and sat down, had a coffee. Came back. And I was waiting for the bill. The manager was there and says, have you been in the meeting? She says, yes. She says, are you a pastor? I said, yes. Her response was, I thought you were by the presence around you. Okay, wow. Now then, it's not every day you get somebody telling you that. You know, and that is super. And I just thought, God's timing, God doing that. 2 days afterwards, we've been looking at it. When we've been looking at this, this is, and I, if you remember, yeah, I'm jumping my gun. Yes, yeah, yeah. A complete stranger, 3 sentences, 1 hour complimenting her and being a good manageress, and the other one was, can I have the bill? And then it comes through, 3 sentences, I was passing by, but the presence touches, and the presence can be identified. She could tell me she was sensing God's presence. Remember, last week, one of the last things I said to you as I sent you out, I said, you are glory carriers, presence carriers. Do we believe it? And then confirmation on Tuesday. Now, that's not just for me. That's for every one of us. So let's get into that state or that frame of mind that we are carrying the presence of God because Christ is in us. And we should be topped up enough that it starts spilling out. Okay? It's not very often someone says that, but the presence is around us. And we've got to be saying it doesn't happen very often yet because we're a work in progress and things are moving on. We've got to believe it. Why? Because God said it. And I've said a number of times, call God a liar at your peril. Pam said, don't give up on the promises God has given you. But you know, that was Pam last week, but it's not just Pam. There's others as well. How often have we been saying, remember the words you've been given. Remember the prophetic words you've been given. Remember the dreams you've had. We've seen over the last week, the rainbow. And a number of people have commented on the rainbow over the royal residences. And what's the rainbow? At the same time, the rainbow showing. The rainbow, when we look in scripture, is God's promise. Okay, the promise of scripture is he'll not flood the world. But the rainbow is God's promise. And I think we've got to remember, the New Age have hijacked it. It was a Christian thing before New Age. So we shouldn't be saying, well, we're not going to use the written rainbow because it's New Age. No, it's not. It's God's given. It's a symbol. God's saying, I remember my promises and I keep my promises. What I have said will happen. In June, one of the lion's bites was a new era of building. When we know we've moved into a new era, we realized that, didn't we? And God said, come out from the rubble, my children. Move out from the war-torn places where the enemy has blasted you with heavy artillery. It's been a rough time, hasn't it? All sorts of attacks going on in the lives. The enemy's trying to pull us down. But God said, come on out. Come on out. Don't be bothered. It's a new day. Don't be hiding amongst the rubble. It's a new day. The old man-made structures that have held you back in religious bondage have been torn down. I used the shaking of the past few years to remove hindrances that have kept you blocked from entering into your promised land. It was a divine realignment to launch you into an entirely new era of freedom and liberation. Okay? God's saying he's going to give us blueprints to build heavenly structures that will last the test of time. were to build on the rock. We've been talking about that, haven't we? The rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're building on the rock, and we will not be shaken. There's a time of shaking coming. We're probably already in it. But for the believers, with our rock, with our feet firmly on the rock, we're going to come through. We're going to be right. We are shaped by God to be. What are we shaped to be? You know, I should be seeking God to say, God, what do you want? What do you want me to be doing? What's the next thing? We can choose to yield to God and to go back into time, become vessels of honor. Yeah, that's it. The potter shapes. And are we going to yield to God and allow him to shape us? Or are we going to be stubborn and not, you know, allow him to put us in the shape that he wants? Because you then become an everyday pot rather than a vessel of honor. So as we yield to God, let him do what he wants. You know, he promises that he's going to make something, do something good for us. Have we picked up the authority? Do we use the authority that the Lord's already given us? Have we picked up the promises of God? Have we picked up the mantle or mantles that he's given us? In part, we can say, yes, there's more to come. We're getting ready. We're in a period of preparation. We're looking to revival. We're all expecting revival. We're praying for it. But as I say, we are still not ready, not fully ready. Again, this is now coming into July in the Lion's Bites. Be ready. When you expect me to move, expect me to do it. How often do we expect God to move and then think afterwards, oh, I never really thought that would happen anyway? But expect God to do it. Don't wait to see if I will. Prepare for me to arrive. Prepare for me to supply. This is what I call faith. It's getting ready in advance for what we want. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to come. But if the space is, if in your life, in your home, in your heart are full of other things, you haven't made room for me. Show you're ready by preparing space for me. Show you're ready by watching for me. Show you're ready by making yourself ready. I say to you that I am coming. I will provide. I will move. Show me that you believe it by making your life ready for me. Yeah, God can't get it much clearer than that, can he? He said, yes, he recognizes, of course he recognizes, we're in a place of preparation. We are still in the process of getting ready. God wants to move. He wants to move mightily. But he's saying, come on, get ready. We're going to press into God, using God's anointing and God's empowering. We've got to recognize and we've got to receive his presence, his promises, and connect to God. Get hold of and embrace him. He'll embrace you back. We don't have to be shy. We've got Christ in us. And he'll certainly hug Christ, so he'll hug us as well. We've got his DNA, as we heard last week. We get his DNA when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Another thing Pam said last week was, she said, be open to the dreams of God, to the vision. Well, How many weeks have we been talking about dreams? Why? Because I believe it's important. On the 13th of September, there was another prophetic word given. Recently, I heard the Lord say, I am breathing life into dreams. And immediately, this is Lana Voza. And immediately I knew that it was his breath that was bringing a reconnect in the hearts to dreams that he has spoken and released. If there was a feeling of disconnect to dreams he had placed within hearts and spoken to his people, his breath was releasing life to reconnect and resurrect those dreams again. For some time, they had to pick up the dreams again by faith. This is what we've been hearing, what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, isn't it? What's the dream that God's given you? Or what are the dreams that God's given you? And God's saying now, a timely reminder, he is breathing life into the dreams. He is saying, come on, reconnect with the dream that I've given you. Resurrect that dream. As the Lord is breathing upon these dreams again, he is bringing forth joy within the dreams. Well, if you want a reason to resurrect a dream, that's one, joy. I watched as these dreams were being filled with the joy of the Lord. What's the joy of the Lord? Our strength. With being filled with the joy of the Lord, but also the Lord breathed upon these dreams. As I watched, they were expanding, holding his breath. Can you remember the picture of the sailing ship? First of all, it was the sails were down, and then we've had a picture coming through. First sailing ship was Yvonne, years and years ago when she gave me that. The sailing ship was there. The next time it was Janet, and the sails were full to bursting as the wind of God, the breath of God, was pushing them on and taking that ship on. The ship of faith moving forward into the waters that God's got for us before, going ahead of us. It's God's breath, God breathing into something that's causing it to get bigger and bigger. It's not going to bust though. As we stay with God, it's just going to keep going and keep sailing on. Then I heard the words, it's bigger than you think. It's greater than you can imagine. Not only is the Lord re-establishing connection with dreams, he has released and spoken, he is also breathing increase and expansion into those dreams. I could feel his heart in that moment, that his plans for these dreams were a lot bigger than had been dreamt by his people. Scriptural reference to that, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. His power at work in us. That's what scripture says. It doesn't say in somebody else. It says in us, the believers. God can do so much more than we can hope for, dream, or imagine. Have you been exercising your imagination? I hope so. It's his power working in us. As I continue to seek his heart, I heard the Lord say, look for the expansion. As the Lord breathes life into these dreams, I felt there was an intentionality that the Lord was inviting his people into. Where you sense the breath of God breathing life into those dreams, intentionally ask him what the expansion looks like. So we might have got one part of the dream, and God's saying, when we sense it, say, come on, ask me, what's the dream look like now? For these are the things the Lord is about, are about to add on to the dream. There are things the Lord is about to unveil within these dreams. He has released these dreams. It's in this expansion, and there's going to be, His ease is going to come in. It's not going to be our effort that's going to increase it. Because how many times have we worked at something? Oh, we've got to work at this to get it to go, get it to be bigger and bigger. And no. Years ago, we had a prophetic word saying we'd push the car up the hill. And we'd pushed and we'd pushed and we'd pushed. And we were getting slower. And it was taking great effort to get the car up the hill. But the Lord was saying, we're at the top. Now grab hold, because you're going downhill. And when you're going downhill, you don't need a push. You just need to hold on. And that's the way we're getting to. God said, come on. Yes, we've still got to put an effort in. It's not going to be an effort that's going to tire us out. It's not going to have us on our knees and like dogs. It's a case, jump on board and let's see what God's going to do for us. I don't like roller coasters. But, you know, it'll be fun with God. I've told you about that when we were down in Redford, where we were in the soaking time, we're up worshiping God. And we were flying. It was that song, we come on, let's fly. And we were flying, and the Spirit was so great. We started flying, and the Spirit going around like this, flying. And God said to me, come on, let's have some fun. Dive. And go and you could see in your mind's eye getting closer and closer and closer at the earth and going to pull up. No, don't pull up yet. And then soar up again with the Lord. And it's amazing to get to there. We can fly with the Lord. We're told we're like eagles. We've got wings. We've got to mount up on them. Yes. In the upgrade, in the increase, in the adding more, there will be an incredible slipstream of His grace and empowerment to see His dream expanded further than you could ever imagine. He continued to speak, build the dream as I lead. There are specific instructions of the Lord in His wisdom and strategy of how to partner and build in the expansion with Him. It's imperative to take time to listen and see Him for the building of the dream or the vision. There are specific instructions. I watched as the hand of the Lord set the parameters. I watched as the hand brought forth the extension through His people's obedience. And then I heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It was His breath. It was His Spirit. There was a sound. And the manifestation of life all around. I then saw the weight of His glory that rested upon these dreams. The weight of His glory came and rested upon these divine, heavenly dreams and visions that He's placed within our hearts. The extension was making room for more of His glory than we've ever seen before. Do we want that? More of God's glory than we've ever seen before. But obedience was key in building the dream as He was leading. He's breathing life into dreams. A time of expansion has arrived that His glory seen and manifest in the earth in greater ways than have ever been seen. See, the dreams aren't for our benefit. What God's doing is not for our benefit, it's for His glory. And as we've got to get a hold of that, it's His glory, not ours. We're building His kingdom, not our empire. And it's moving forward. We need to be moving forward in what God's doing. Are we going to limit God? Oh, we can't do this. We can't do that. We can't do the other. Let's decide not to limit Him, shall we? Is there an agreement there? Is there an amen there? That we're not going to limit God. That we're going to allow God to do what He wants. for what? For each one of us to say, God, do what you want to do through me. It's your timing. Look at the key points of those words. God is saying, reconnect. There's been a disconnect. Why has there been a disconnect sometime with the dreams? Well, it hasn't happened yet. Oh, I've tried that and it didn't work. It was a failure. Nothing's a failure. Whatever we do for the Lord, unto the Lord, is going to have fruit at some stage or another. I don't know when it's going to come about. And I can say that looking back over a lot of years and thinking, when are we going to see these youth coming in? Been working with youth, I've told you before, several years ago, I had a young man came on the bus at 15. Now it's about 12 years since we finished the bus project, working on that. 15 he was, and his dad had been in the first youth group that I ran in the village. I thought, gosh, I'm getting old. But still, we'll see. The seeds have been sown and Holy Spirit going to water. And there's a time coming when all these seeds sown are going to start blossoming and we're going to see. They might not be youth now, but there's youth still coming. But what's our church, prayer for the church? It's not just a youth church, is it? It's a church of all generations, from the babies through to the great-great-grandparents, right the way through, every generation, all working together because we're family. And that's what God wants. He's building family. He's not just in wanting a church of one age group or another age group. He didn't design us that way. We're family, and that's what he wants. A church right across the ages. Because you know what? The youngsters realize that grandparents can help. And the grandparents realize that the youngsters are stronger and they can help. And in other ways, they can help. God is breathing into the dreams. His breath of life is coming in and said, come on, reconnect. Bit like the train carriage, isn't it? It's got to have the chain put on and the things connected. So when the train starts moving, the carriage moves. If we're not connected, when the engine pulls out, the carriage stays in the siding. I don't want to stop in the siding. I don't know whether you do. Yeah, I'm going back to my train metaphors because we have a lot of trains, don't we? Yeah. But it's, Pam said, blow the dust off the dreams. That's very relevant. Because, you know, in time, dust settles. It covers things over. Blow the dust off. Let's wash them down. Let's brighten them up. Let's reconnect. Let's resurrect them. And, you know, when you're saying, and I'm saying a dream, people think, oh, I don't know about a dream. You know, a dream. One person that spoke to me, their dream was to visit someone. You think, well, that's not much of a dream. Yes, it is, to visit someone. And it might start off that I'm just going to visit one person, but God's going, he's blowing into the dream. He's expanding the dream. How about visiting two? How about five? How about 10? Spreading God's love. See, it doesn't have to be complicated. A dream, God gives you the dream because he knows who you are. He knows what you can do. He knows what you're capable of doing, more to the point. Even if I'm not doing it now, he's saying, with my help, you can. And let's keep looking at the dreams. What does God want us to do? And let's reconnect and let's start putting things about, building the dreams, and let's see God extend the dreams. You're often, we're the limiting factor. How often do we say we can't? Or are but? Well, that doesn't, we've tried that. It's not going to work again. God said, come on. Dust it down, try again. What is our desire? How much are we prepared to put into the dream? And by that, I'm saying is how much are we prepared to put ourselves out from the comfortable lifestyle we've got to pour into a dream? God wants us to look for expansion. He doesn't want us to stay as we are now. He wants us to develop and grow. Our house, it's in the history books, it's 1760. It was a one up, one down. It then became a two up, two down. It then became a four up, four down. How do I know this? Because as we've done alterations and decorating, we see what the house was like, and we know we've changed the format. We moved in 1980. So that was a fair old time, 220 years on from being in the history books. It's now a six up, a nine down. We've added on every side. So we've had to call a halt. But what happened in the expansion of the house, the family expanded. It was expanded to make room. We've got a lot of room now because the family's not at home now. But still, we still make room. We still make use. Grandchildren were here last night. God wants to show us. He wants to unveil what he's entrusted, what he wants us to do. But he says, build the dream as I lead you. The sound of the Holy Spirit will lead us. He's bringing life all around us. The extension makes way for his glory. We want to see it more and more, don't we? We see in that word, that was but. The but, the key to the building was obedience. It's his plan. We've got to keep our hands off it. He says, look at my plan. Don't you shape it. I'm shaping it. God's on the move. My cry is, use me. Use us, Lord. And you know what? He wants to. That's his desire as well. He wants to use each one of us. Just building in on top of this, what am I doing? Yeah. James Gull of God Encounter Ministries. Yesterday or the day before, he had three dreams in one night. And he said, he's a seer. He says, when you have three dreams, that means God's talking about the same thing in one night anyway. But he started his day off. He was actually reading in Matthew 3, where Jesus has been baptized. And where the dove comes down onto him. And it actually says the dove descended. The dove alighted and settled. It's saying the dove of the Holy Spirit came down and remained. It settled on Jesus. Now we need the dove of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Say more, Lord. Every day, Lord, we need more. For the Holy Spirit to settle upon us, to fill us. So we're emanating the Holy Spirit, but we keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. God's looking for a people who are willing to receive and who are willing to respond. Because it's no good just receiving. You've got to give out. The one place on earth that only receives and doesn't give out is the Dead Sea. And that will happen to us. If we keep receiving and don't give out, we'll get to the stage we can't receive anymore and we'll just stop. The first dream he had, there were flashes of God's presence like matches striking, suddenly flaring up, and they like the glory of God coming in. And these were in places of corporate gatherings, like the church. God was starting to light up the corporate gathering. Suddenly, he was igniting the embers. Suddenly, there was flames whooshing across the corporate gatherings. Miraculous faith was coming. Supernatural ability was coming. Supernatural activity coming in. So that's dream one. Dream two, he saw flashes of lightning. The first dream was for the corporate, that God was going to empower the whole church. The second dream, the lightnings of God. God was striking individuals. God was turning lives around. God was empowering people. He was bringing gifts of faith, gifts of healing as he hit different people. And the third dream, there was the sound of heaven. Before a new sound is heard on earth, with the reverberations that are needed for revival breakthrough, it first originates in heaven. That's quoting him. The sound has to be sounded in heaven to come down to earth. It's got to be ringing in heaven and then coming down to earth. God's touching corporately. God's touching individually, and God's making that new sound. If you go back to what I was saying, Lorna was actually saying the sound of heaven. The tying in together. God wants to use us individually. God wants to use us corporately. He's creating something new. He is expanding something new. He is giving a new sound. He wants us to pay attention. On the 16th of September, another lion's bite. Yeah, I'm pulling these together, but they're all coming in saying the same thing. God's speaking. He gets our attention. Once he might speak, we might ignore it. Twice. Oh, yeah, okay. Three times. That's a coincidence. Not a coincidence, a God incidence. God's bringing things. He's bringing things into place. I'm reshaping and remolding. Remember what Pam was speaking on last week. I'm reshaping and remolding you into a vessel fit for use in my house. I am shattering the old structures that have grown hard and rigid because they aren't flexible enough to hold the new wine of my glory. So don't hold on to the structures of the past. God's saying he's doing a new thing. There's a new wineskin. The old one isn't flexible enough. We've got, do you realize what that says? We've got to bend a bit more. We've got to have rigid ideas. We've got to be open to the things that God wants to bring. For those who have kept themselves soft and pliable in my hand, who have humbled themselves at the potter's wheel, I will reform them into a great priesthood who will serve me continually with the sacrifice of praise. I will entrust them to carry my spirit into all the earth. Do you want that? Proclaiming my kingdom and lordship over the nation. God's saying, look, if you're soft, if you're pliable, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to carry my spirit, to be a glory carrier. I'm going to use you to speak out the words of the kingdom, the lordship of Jesus. All these false gods will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these burning ones have kept close to my refiner's flames, they have been purified of anything that would make them brittle or weak, becoming supernaturally strong in the process. These are the ones who have broken their hearts open for me, so I will break open a way for them in the coming days. I will lead my people out in jubilant praise and adoration that will shift people and nations for my kingdom. It's time to pour out your praise upon the earth. God's causing things to come together. He's telling us over and over and over again through different people. He is doing a new thing. We are to perceive it. Open our eyes, Lord, to see clearly. Open our ears, Lord, to hear clearly. Open our minds, Lord, to receive from you. Open our hearts, Lord, to embrace you and your way. Amen.